This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Brendan was talking about was the 49ers' second to final drive. When they had a 4th-and-1 at the Dallas 49 with 2 minutes and 50 seconds left in the game. By the way, Dallas still had 3 timeouts at that point. They had not used any of their timeouts at that point. It was closer to 4th-and-2, and I thought they would go for it too. They took a delay of game. They ended up punting, and by the way, they ended up having a false start on the punt, and then they had to punt again. But that was the drive where Dallas actually had the ball for the first time down in a one-score game in the second half. After the Garoppolo interception, which set up the 23-17 touchdown for Dallas, and then Dallas had a chance, you know, from their own 15-yard line, 2 minutes 51 seconds left, all 3 timeouts. And he hit that big throw to Schultz, which was the biggest play of the game that got him to midfield. They took a snap right before the 2 minute warning, which then they had to come back after the 2 minute warning, I think, with the 3rd-and-11 or the 1st-and-10 snap they took right before. And then they decided to go for it on 4th down, which I thought was the right call, but they got, you know, one last chance and they got to midfield before the QB draw call, which again, we talked about this in the show yesterday. Brendan was off yesterday. That's got to be a quick throw over the middle and an immediate concession by the receiver, and then you've got a chance to spike it there. 14 seconds is a quick throw, and if you execute everything, a chance to get it spiked and run another play. But they ran a quarterback draw, which is a longer play than a quick throw over the middle, and the middle of the field was wide open. And Dak Prescott went too far, and then they did not execute the handing the ball to the referee to allow the referee to spot the ball. And Dak blamed the officials. Oh, that's what it was. We didn't respond to. I think I'm going to give a guy like Dak Prescott, who's built up credibility over the years, I'm going to give him a little bit of a break. Look, what he said is not, you know, should never have been said. To sort of advocate that fans take it out on the referees by throwing stuff at the referees. And the whining about the officiating in the game is, you know, they had a lot of pressure on them to win this game. And they felt the pressure, and then they didn't deliver under the pressure, and then they succumbed to the pressure after losing by blaming the referees instead of taking accountability, which was surprising because I think Prescott's the kind of guy that's built up enough credibility with me that typically he is very accountable for his actions. I'm going to give him a break in the emotion of the moment. If you watched the way he said it, he was saying it kind of in jest, but what he should have said at least a day later is my comments about throwing things at the referees. I was emotional, and I should not have said that. But no, I don't think the referees will take it out on them next year. Let's get a few more calls in here. What'd you learn from this past weekend's 6 NFL playoff games? Let's go to Sam. Sam's been on hold. Sam, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, fellas. So, specifically, what I learned is that I'm pretty sure in the offseason, everybody will be practicing that hand the ball to the referee and step to the side like the center should have done, as opposed to what they did to botch that whole little scenario. But like Birdman once said, put some respect on Derek Carr's name, man. Like, of all the QBs that are not in the playoffs, outside of what, Herbert, Lamar, and Russell, who are you taking over that? I mean, Carr is definitely better than Dak. Carr is definitely better than Jimmy G. So to say that he is, like, barely in the top 15, like, come on. There was a time that Carr was leading in the MVP race before he got hurt. So the man is legit baller. Like, we would definitely want him. I'm definitely surprised that Sabah didn't name Taylor Heineke to start. I'm surprised that she said Brady, you know, and not Taylor Heineke. Moving forward, though, man, I just think that, like you said, 7 is the number. Anything over that is just too much. And I think Cliff Kingsbury is done. Like, I think they're going to move on from him because the even though Hopkins is hurt and they had injuries, just the way that they ended the season, and this has just been his MO, whether here in the NFL or college, like, something's just not right with that chemistry or whatever. That's all I got. Good
okay.
talking to you, fellas.
Hey, look, Derek Carr showed tremendous leadership, not just on Saturday, but throughout the year. But I'm just going to rip them off right now, the quarterbacks that I think are better. I'm not saying that they have a chance at any of these quarterbacks. Obviously, they don't. Josh Allen, 1. Joe Burrow, 2. Lamar Jackson, 3. Deshaun Watson, if he's available, 4. Pat Mahomes, 5. Justin Herbert, 6. Dak Prescott, sorry, I would take Prescott in front of Derek Carr, 7. Aaron Rodgers, 8. Kirk Cousins, yes, 9. Tom Brady, 10. Matt Stafford, 11. Russell Wilson, 12. And then you get to Kyler Murray, 13. And would you take Matt Ryan at 37 or 38 years old? I don't know. He's a better quarterback than Derek Carr. So you can see pretty easily you get him outside of the top 10 if you're being objective. If you want to debate, you know, from 11 to 15, go ahead, have at it. All I'm saying is that Derek Carr is not in the class of, you know, 8, 9, 10 quarterbacks in this league. I like his leadership. I like a lot about him. And he'd be a massive upgrade over what they have now. Nobody's debating that. You'd also have to know, what are you going to give up to get him? And then what are you going to have to pay him? Because you're going to have to extend him as well. And then we get to the reality of this. The reality test is, if he really is a top 15 quarterback, which a top half of the league quarterback, which I believe he is, then why would the Raiders get rid of him? They're not going to, is the answer. He's not going to be available. Okay, Rodgers isn't going to be available. Wilson's not going to be available. The guys that we're going to be talking about are guys like Jimmy G and Mitch Trubisky. And by the way, Jeremy Fowler just wrote this morning in a story, like, he went to a lot of NFL executives for a story on predictions for 2022 as it relates to quarterbacks. For Washington, he says Washington will trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. One NFL exec said, quote, "I have some concerns about Garoppolo outside of the Kyle Shanahan offense, but Washington has some of the in-breaking stuff that would be similar. It wouldn't be as much of an issue if you can define throws for him," closed quote. Also, you know, keep in mind with Garoppolo, because Brendan and I were talking about this during the break. My belief is that Carr would cost you more. You know, Garoppolo, I think you get for, you know, a third. Maybe do you have to give up a second? Probably a third and a fifth. I think Carr is much more pricey, that the price tag is bigger. And Brendan, your point was, yeah, but you're going to have to pay Carr more. Yeah, but so what? I don't think that that's going to be a massive difference maker. If you had to inherit like an overburdening contract, that would be one thing, which you don't with really Carr at this point. Carr has 1 year left on his current deal at $19 million. And Jimmy G has 1 year left at you know, a base of like 24.5 or something like that. I think Carr costs you much more than Garoppolo in trade comp. Let's go to Tim. Tim's calling from Connecticut. Tim, go ahead.
Hi, Kevin. 2 points. I would take Garoppolo or Carr if they became available, but you highlight the points there. But the kind of my learning or takeaway from this weekend as it relates to Washington is that we have 2 big needs after QB. Linebacker, we've already talked about. But I think our offensive line is not as good as everyone seems to think it is. Did it play well during our winning streak? Absolutely. But when we were 6-6 and faced Dallas and Philly, that offensive line got manhandled, and Dallas and Philly petered out of the playoffs. Until we fix our offensive line, and we've got Sheriff going out the door, it's going to be a long, hard time, regardless of who is our QB. That's my takeaway.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, certainly one of the Philly games you just completely discount, you know, the game in which they were racked with COVID and had to start Garrett Gilbert. The Dallas game, the first one at home, that was a game in which, you know, you're right, both Dallas games, they were wrecked, you know, up front. The second, the Philly game and the Dallas game that week of Christmas was those games. I'm not going to say that they would have had chances against the Eagles or the Cowboys had things been, you know, normal, but that was part of a very crazy couple of weeks. The truth is, against the Eagles in the second go round, you know, Washington didn't punt until the second half. They were lights out first half offensively, with great balance and the ability to move the football throughout that first half of that game against the Eagles. I think the offensive line was a major strength and a pleasant surprise on the team. I thought Leno played exceptionally well. Flowers played well. You know, obviously they didn't have their starting center for much of the year. They had, you know, ended up playing 4 or 5 centers or whatever it is. And I thought Cosme was a really good pick. I think the dude can flat out play. Clearly, you know, you're going to have to get more production out of that right guard position because Sheriff isn't coming back. So it'll be Schweitzer that would be the lead, you know, fill-in for him. Let's go to Bones. Bones, what's up, man? Thanks for holding.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin Sheehan, my main man? Thank you, Bones, for taking my call. Appreciate you, Brandon, man. I've been listening to these people, you know, talking about these calls and stuff like that, man. You know, in the playoffs, man, you know, you got to come in, man, and flat out, man, play football, man. You got to, you know, you got to come out to win. You got to beat the team, man. You can't come in the playoffs, man, depending on no call or nothing like that, man. I don't know where they get all this stuff from, man. They missed the call. They, you know, man, if you don't win from the start of the game, in the middle of the game, and to the end of the game, man, I don't want to hear that crying and stuff, man. As far as, you know, our quarterback situation, you know, man, everybody throwing out a lot of scenarios out there and all that type of stuff, man. You know, man, I just hope, man, we get something, man, that's better than what we got in the lineup right now. You know what I mean? That's all, man. Get me somebody 6'3", 6'4", 225
who can sling it.
And got a cannon for an arm, man. You know, Kevin, man, I'll check y'all out, man. That night you was on Toothpicks podcast with G from the shop.
Yeah,
and
that was
Paul
fun.
And all that, man. Man,
that
you hung
fun.
Out, man. Y'all did a real good job, man.
Thanks, Bones.
Got into that, man.
All right, man.
Y'all
dude.
Have a good day. Thanks for taking my call. Peace.
Yeah, appreciate it. Let's go to Ivan. Ivan, what's up?
Hey, Kevin, what's up, man? Hey, listen, Garoppolo, you don't know whether Garoppolo is going to play himself into a starting quarterback next year at San Francisco. Kevin, after your list of 12 to 13 quarterbacks, there's a decided drop-off. After that point, what you're doing is you're talking trading McDonald's for Burger King. It's not a big deal. Hey, listen.
Unless you're talking about
the new
fries.
Guard, what you did. I'm sorry?
Unless you're talking about French fries, because there's a massive difference between McDonald's and Burger King French fries.
Look, the new guard. What I learned was the new guard of quarterbacks is here and in good hands. And what I didn't learn, unless you have a top 7 quarterback, you need help to win a Super Bowl. any of those other guys other than the top three will not give you one or two more wins than Taylor Heineke. And still no Super Bowl. Still no Super Bowl. And I think you would agree with me, with a top 10 defense this year or a top five and Logan Thomas and McKissick, we would have been a playoff team this year. And if we don't get a top three quarterback, I'm okay with drafting your quarterback and Taylor Heineke. What you got to do is you got to fix your defense. We get a non-playoff schedule next year. We can be in the playoffs again. But what you got to do is you got to get rid of Del Rio and maybe Rivera. And by the way, I'm rooting for Sean McVay. I hope he makes a long run. And I hope Brady and Shanahan get out of here. All right, I'm gone, man.
All right. Thank you, Ivan. Not sure he answered any of the questions. What'd you learn from this past weekend? Darren, finish it up for us. Go ahead.
How you doing, Kevin? Hey, Kevin. I'm a 49er fan. And a lot of people don't give Garoppolo a lot of credit. You know, his record is 34-15. And this is second time being in the playoffs right now. I'm not trading no Kirk Cousins over him. No, I'm not doing it. I'm close to D.C., and I told people when Kirk Cousins went to the Minnesota Vikings, don't get him.
Why are we talking about Kirk Cousins?
No, what I'm saying, that people are saying that they'll take Kirk Cousins over Garoppolo. Some people.
Oh, I said I would, yes.
Yeah. But, Kevin, I wouldn't do that because he's in the playoffs again. He's in the playoffs again. He can play. Garoppolo can play. Don't get me wrong. He throws some boneheaded plays. He do that. But Shanahan, sometimes he handcuffing him. He don't believe in him. And remember he was in New England. Belichick had that boy throwing. That boy, he can throw. He can do it. He can do it.
I think he can throw. Look, there's a lot about Jimmy G that I like. We had Mike Shanahan on the show last week, and he said, you know, he's got quick twitch. He's got a super quick release. He's a competitor. Right. But, you know, what you get with Jimmy G is what you got on Sunday. You got a comfortable lead. The game's basically over, and he throws one to the other team that nearly cost you the game.
Hey, Kevin, I understand. You remember it was fourth before Debo with the fourth down and inches. Way before that. It was fourth down and one. Kyle Shanahan, he gave the ball right. He kicking the ball out. You got the most dangerous guy, Debo Samuels. You just put him in the backside and let him run it all day long. The game shouldn't have never been close because sometimes Shanahan, it'd be Shanahan's fault.
You're with Brendan on this, on that fourth and one, which if you go back and look at it, it's probably closer to fourth and two. If you look at that fourth and one, which is, I think, eventually why he decided not to go for it in that spot.
Kevin,
he took the delay a game and they punted it. But they did win the game. You know, they did win the game. And they were pretty damn innovative and pretty damn good in the first half, moving the football in multiple ways. I mean, what was Garoppolo in that first half? People were wide open in the first half.
Oh,
they were running the football.
Just like I say, sometimes he makes them bone it, but when he's on. But my thing is, Shanahan, we doing these drought moves all the time. He passing it. He running the ball all day. But we got the most efficient guy, Debo Samuels. If I was the coach, you know what I'd do, Kevin? All day long, fourth down to two, fourth down to one, Debo averaged five yards of carry. They can't stop him back there. He's bad.
Yeah, I hear you.
I do that.
Dallas had a little bit of momentum at that point. But by the way, to me, it was like even money. If they tried to really hard count, they would have jumped off sides anyway. Thanks for the call.
Right.
You know, one of the things about the 49er game, and I didn't mention this yesterday, is they won the game with George Kittle getting one touch the entire game. I mean, you could argue it's close between Kittle and Debo Samuel in terms of who the better offensive threat is. They're both incredible. San Francisco's good. They need Nick Bosa for Sunday's game at Green Bay. His status all week long will be a big storyline in this game. All right, we're going to talk some Cowboys with Mickey Spagnola at about 8:35. Find out what Dallas is going to do with Mike McCarthy. They are, Dallas Cowboy Nation, in a state of shock. They expected to win the game. They were only a 3-point favorite. you know, almost everybody was picking the Niners in this game. A lot of people were. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app. Bet on more than the final score with one-game parlay at BetMGM. One-game parlay is an exciting feature designed to help you make selections within a single game from over 400 bet types, including team and player props. Log into your BetMGM account. Create your best parlay before the game starts. If you're new to BetMGM, sign up today and make your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 using my bonus code for this one. It is Kevin S. You can place one-game parlay bets on football, basketball, and more. Plus, you'll earn M Life rewards that you can redeem for rooms and dining at MGM resorts nationwide. Try one-game parlay today. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older to wager. Virginia only for this one. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-888-532-3500.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Tell you what, we've talked a lot about the Cowboys game here in Washington the last 2 days. Mickey Spagnola is our good friend from Dallas. He's covered the Cowboys for years at DallasCowboys.com and for Cowboys Radio and TV at Spags52 on Twitter. I called Mickey because Dallas is certainly a big part of the NFL conversation, even though they're at home and their opponent on Sunday is moving on. All right, before we get to the what's current and what's next, why do you think more than anything else they lost on Sunday?
Well, they didn't play very well. And the prime reasons were, you know, going into the game, Kevin, I had three things that the Cowboys absolutely had to accomplish to be able to beat San Francisco. Number one, it was going to come down to the offensive lines. Mike McCarthy even said it before the game. He said, this game will start with the offensive lines and end with the offensive lines. And the Cowboys' offensive line was not even close to being better than San Francisco's. And when your offensive line can't protect the quarterback, Dak Prescott got sacked 5 times. He got hit 14 times trying to throw the ball. And you can't run the ball. Their longest run was Dak's last run of the game, 17 yards. The other 20 runs gained 60 yards. You're going to have a tough time creating enough points to win a game. Second, they had to contain Debo, and they didn't come close to containing Debo Samuel. He ended up with 110 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown run. And then the third thing that has bothered them all season long, that was disguised, I think, by the 34 takeaways they had, is they continued to give up big plays. Going into the game, Kevin, they had given up 76 plays of 20 yards or more, run or pass, and San Francisco came in with 70 of those plays offensively, so they were kind of a big play offense. Well, if you look at the game, San Francisco ended up with 10
15 plays of 10 yards or more, and 240 of their 341 yards came on just 15 plays. So that was one thing the Cowboys had to do, play defensively, stop the big plays, and they didn't do it. And those are the reasons why they had predominantly lost the other five games during the regular season or had trouble winning games, is when they defense didn't get enough takeaways and they were susceptible to big plays. So in a nutshell, to me, that's why they lost.
You know, you didn't mention something that I mentioned a lot yesterday. You know, the takeaway, they got the one key takeaway at the end that got them back into the game. But, you know, there were 18 penalties called, 14 accepted. They were the most penalized team all year long. And part of, look, it didn't look like they were going to have much success running the football to begin with. But, my God, how many second and 15s and second and 20s and second and 25s? And then how many times did the 49ers keep the ball because of a lack of discipline on defense? The penalties were horrible in that game, Mickey.
No, they were. And, again, if you look at reasons why they lost previous games, it came down to penalties. But a lot of times to me, and I know, you know, pre-snap penalties don't count in this, but a lot of times when you're not playing well, especially on the offensive line, and you're getting beat, you start holding, right? Because you're desperate to do anything to protect the quarterback. And I think that happened. The offensive line just did not play well. Some of the other penalties, you know, you can go back and look at them. You know, they got a couple, and not to nitpick or anything, but if you go back and look at two of Randy Gregory's neutral zone infractions, Trent Williams was wiggling his left foot.
Yep, I remember that one.
Constantly.
Yep.
And it didn't get called, right? The BS delay a game after the fake punt, that was on the umpire.
Why do you think Cowboys, that was on the umpire? They made a late
Cowboys
change to put the offense out there.
No. The Cowboys weren't substituting, and he held up the game so that San Francisco could run their defense back on the field, because the Cowboys were going to run a play with their punt team. And that meant that they were going to run a play with their punt team against San Francisco's punt defense. And the official thought the Cowboys were substituting when they weren't. And he held the game up for them to put the defense on the field. And then when they had the defense on the field against a punt team, they were like, okay, now we got to switch. They switched, and he held the ball up after they switched until the clock ran out. So there were a couple things that happened in the game that if that was an all-star crew, I hate to see what the other officials sometimes they put on the field.
We're talking to Mickey Spagnuolo. He's covered the Cowboys forever. He's been a guest on this show so many times over the years. So I got to go back and watch that, because first of all, they reset the play clock to 25. You know,
right.
And for whatever reason they did that, and then I thought the Cowboys changed their mind and decided to run their offense out there.
No. You go back and watch. They gave San Francisco the opportunity to put their defense on the field.
Right.
And they shouldn't have done
against
the punt team. And they were like, they had a play that was going to be a trick play and they were going to run another one. That's why they were hurrying to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, so they were going to run a play rather than just try to force Kyle into calling a timeout there, because that's what Troy was speculating Romo was speculating about.
Yeah, unfortunately, Tony didn't have it right. And that's what it looked like. But in the end, when we got to talk about it after the game, they had a play that they were going to run. And they had a couple guys on the field that had been former quarterbacks in college. So they had a play they were going to run, okay? And it when they allowed – and here's why they reset the clock, by the way. I didn't think about this, but they took time to take the kicking ball out of the game to bring in the offensive ball.
Got it. Okay.
And so when the umpire threw the ball and he had the other ball, They
yeah, because I saw that they, you know, pushed the hand up in the air to reset the play clock to 25. And then
right.
It just seemed like that. Look, you've spent much more time on this specific play than we have here. It just seemed to me that Dallas decided they changed their mind and they're going to put the offense back out there, which then by rule, it's very subjective in terms of the time allowed by the referee, but you've got to
correct.
Allow the defense to sub. You're saying that basically they allowed San Francisco to sub their defense in against the punt offense or the punt team, and then Dallas changed their mind to put their offense back out there, and he held up the
correct.
Ball.
And the explanation
it.
Mike McCarthy got, I guess one of the Cowboys on the sideline that was not in the game started celebrating on the fake punt and was on the other side of the sideline when he celebrated, and they thought this guy was coming in as a substitute. And that's why they held up the game, and San Francisco was allowed to bring in their defense. And when they brought in their defense, if you go back and look, the Cowboys deep snapper McQuaid, who was lined up outside sort of as a wing fullback, looked and saw what happened, and he started calling the guys. He goes, okay, come on, we're off the field because we're not going to run our punt team offense against their first team defense, and that's what happened on that play.
Well, one of the suggestions I would have made is you had the one trick play that worked and it was a beauty. How about let's put our $45 million quarterback on the field now that we've got the ball first and
10? Well, that's a good point.
But back to the penalties for a moment. I mean, it doesn't excuse the Gallimore penalty or any of the Randy Gregory penalties where he just was tackling offensive linemen. They were very undisciplined on some of the big third down conversions in big spots.
And that was really weird because I guarantee you watching 17 games this year, I didn't see one defensive lineman get called for holding. And to get two in one game, that was one of those strange things. It's like, why this time? Why? And I think some of that was out of frustration, right? They just weren't getting where they wanted to. They didn't get hardly any pressure on Garoppolo. I mean, you got a quarterback out there playing with a sprained thumb, right? And they didn't get one sack, and they only hit him four times. So
listen, I think it was a break that Bosa only played in 15 or 20% of the snaps ultimately.
No.
You know, that was a massive break because he was wrecking the game before he got knocked out.
Absolutely, and I go back to the offensive line. You know, if your offensive line's not playing well, chances are your offense not going to function very well.
All right, we're talking to Mickey Spagnola, DallasCowboys.com. All right, let's stay with the game here for a moment. The quarterback draw call at the end. So what was your perspective? What's your opinion about it? And was there any day after, maybe we shouldn't have called a play that was going to take that much time?
If if you look at how San Francisco was lined up defensively, they were kind of inviting that play. And their explanation was that they practice that every week. That
the
play,
QB draw the or a throw?
Up, a quarterback draw that you run, you slide, you get up and spike the ball. The problem that they didn't factor into it is that not one official came to get the ball until the umpire, who was at the 50-yard line when Dak slid in, came running up to try to get the ball to set it, because you can't run the play until the umpire touches the ball, right?
Right.
So if you look back at it, there was 9 seconds to go when Dak got up and they were sitting there waiting to snap the ball, but the umpire was 25 yards behind the play when Dak slid. And they did not, I guess if they're guilty of anything, they should have factored in that no official came to touch the ball.
Was Dak supposed to run it 18 yards, or was he supposed to concede earlier?
In retrospect, he probably should have conceded 5 yards earlier.
Yeah.
And I think maybe, and he said, he goes, I guess I could have slid earlier. He goes, but still, when I got up, unfortunately, he said, somebody was on top of him. And when you slide, you're not supposed to get hit, right? Well, there was a San Francisco player laying on top of him. But still, they got up in time with 9 seconds to go, but the ball never got spotted. And so, again, when you get yourself in situations like that, right, you become susceptible to other people affecting your ability to function. And
well, yeah, so, and the receiver, look, it's an odd play because more times than not, when we see this, it's after a throw, which, by the way, still would have been a faster way to pick up 17 yards, would have been a quick throw over the middle when there was nobody in the middle of the field. But receivers are told to run that ball back and hand it to the official. I get
there
it.
There was no one.
The
I
referee,
get it,
I understand he wasn't that, there. He
there,
wasn't there.
There was nobody. Go back and look at it. The two guys on the line of scrimmage never moved off the sideline. You can see it. And then here comes the umpire, and he comes running in. You know, and Dak,
to adjust the spot based on how it was from the sideline guy, and he had to move the ball back a little bit. But again,
he moved it twice. He moved it twice.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
And here's the other thing. And then after he set the ball, he went behind the defensive line. So I, you know, remember when they
he
first
got bumped
started
around
that rule?
A little bit there yet in the mayhem. Yes.
And when they first started that rule, they said, you know what? The last 5 minutes of the game, we're going to let the umpire go back to behind the line of scrimmage. I kind of looked this up because like, that's what I thought they did because they figured if a team's in hurry up and my umpire is 10 yards behind the offense, by the time he gets to where the ball is, a lot of time's going to go off, right? Well, they changed the rule. I think it was in 2016, 2018, to just leave him behind the offense, right? Well, that one came back to bite him because it took him a while to get there. So
look,
anyway,
netting,
you know, and when you do the, and you know, when you do the pool reporter deal with the official,
right,
you don't get anywhere. Heisman
they
comes up. Yeah. Right.
Netting it out though. A pass would have been a better idea than a QB draw. Number two, Dak on the QB draw probably ran it too far. And thirdly, and most importantly, and we wouldn't be probably we would be spending as much time here on this play had it been us as you guys probably are there, but it's still one play from the 24-yard line, which still is probably a 1 in 10 possibility.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. They lost the game far before that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you – okay, Dak got picked off. I get it. But you don't have to give up a 26-yard touchdown run on the next play, right?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of things. They lost the game before that play. But, again, you understand when you're sitting there watching the game and it comes down to that and you get one last chance and it was like, okay – you know, maybe, but you didn't get the maybe, and they didn't. And the funny thing was, you know how in the playoffs they have there's four, two on each sideline, the alternative officials, that to help with the communication to the head coach. They had told McCarthy that they're going to put another second on the clock, and then the next thing they knew is they basically said the game was over.
All right, we're talking to Mickey Spagnuolo. Let's get to the important stuff. What's next?
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the coordinators since, you know, Kellen Moore, Dan Quinn's name have come up with various head coaching jobs, and they will interview. Kellen Moore has interviewed virtually for one spot. It sounded like Denver was coming in to Dallas to interview Quinn and possibly even Kellen Moore. So we'll see what happens there. You know, I was thinking after that performance, I don't know if I wanted either of them my head coach, but we'll see. They've done a very, very good job. So we can start right there with that, and then the fact that they've got a hell of a lot of guys with their contracts expiring, free agents that were on one-year deals, and they're not in very good shape against the salary cap. So this is going to be an interesting off-season. I know everybody thinks when the Cowboys don't win a playoff game, the head coach automatically gets fired. And basically yesterday when Stephen Jones was asked the question about McCarthy, will he be back as your head coach? And he said, absolutely. And so we'll see. I'm sure that rumor will continue. It always seems to when the Cowboys lose a playoff game. But it seems like McCarthy's in pretty good shape.
Obviously, that's the big one. You started with the coordinators, and I understand that, and then you worked your way back to McCarthy. And
right.
We saw how disappointed Jerry was, and everybody read Stephen's statement from yesterday. Do you believe him?
I had no reason to think that. Well, let's put it this way. How many teams have you covered in Washington that went from 6-10 to 12-5, and then they fired the head coach?
Well, we haven't had a season with more than 10 wins since 1991, so you're asking the wrong person.
All right. Well, just how about in general? This was a 6-10 team last year.
Without the quarterback, yeah.
Yeah, without the quarterback and various other parts of the team. But they did go 12-5. But, you know, when you look deep inside of it, they only beat one team that was going to the playoffs.
Right.
Well, I take that back, other than the NFC East, because they beat Philadelphia twice. But other than that...
The Patriots?
They beat the Patriots in overtime.
Yeah.
And really, that was it, other than the NFC East. There were times during the season where you looked and you said, okay, they played this pretty good team and they just couldn't win. Now 12 wins, that's a pretty good deal, but I think if you get in the business of firing head coaches because they didn't win a playoff game, boy, you're going to be going through a lot of guys. And unfortunately for them, they just can't seem to win more than one playoff game since 1995.
What do you think the fan base wants? Do they want McCarthy gone or not?
Oh, I'm sure they want somebody to pay the price for that loss. I'm sure they weren't happy with the result. But again, you know, a bunch of them made a lot of money off that playoff game because they were selling their tickets, right, to San Francisco people who wanted to come to the game. I'm sure after a loss like that, you know, fans. I mean, yeah, somebody's heads got to roll.
All right, but netting it out from a longtime insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, who's been on this show many times, you think Mike McCarthy is the head coach of the Cowboys in 2022?
I absolutely do. I don't see them changing. I think they like the way things went this year. I think, you know, what's going to be the rumor is, well, Dan Quinn needs to be the head coach, right? And so, because you don't want to lose him to somebody else, and you're figuring, well, you know, McCarthy's expendable. How much longer is he going to be here? I think that will be the one that probably gains some traction here because he really did a good job with the defense. They hadn't had that many takeaways in several years. And so, yeah. But again, the takeaways sort of mask their deficiencies defensively.
Always great to catch up. Thanks for making time for me today. I know how busy you are, I'm sure, this week. We'll talk, I'm sure, before the season starts next year or maybe draft time. Thanks, Mickey, so much.
No, I absolutely enjoy it. And you know the Cowboys, there's always something to talk about.
Yeah, well, there is usually here, too, with this team, also just in a different way. Thanks. Mickey Spagnuolo,
okay, sure,
everybody. DallasCowboys.com, @Spags52 on Twitter. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, the Team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
Wait,
things get magnified in the postseason, right? Inadvertent whistle, you know, fake punt followed by some shenanigans going on the play. But the fourth down, the quarterback draw play with 14 seconds left. The bottom line is, you know, there could have been perhaps some gripe, you know, some justified gripe from Cowboy fans in this game. I think that you probably could. And by the way, the him reminding me, Trent Williams got them to jump twice with just a small twitch of his left foot, which is true, and the referees missed on that. But 14 seconds to go, a quarterback draw. Why not shotgun quick over the middle to Schultz? Schultz gets down after 10 yards. That's a three-second play. Okay, and now you've got plenty of time to get to the line of scrimmage. The quarterback draw for 18 yards or whatever it was, I think it was the 40 to the 24, 16 yards, is just a much longer play. Developing play. First of all, in a quarterback draw, you're taking one step backwards before you draw forward. I mean, it would have been just as easy to throw the ball. Look, a QB draw in that spot with 20 seconds to go or 18 seconds to go, fine. And then, you know, the bottom line is, are they going to score from the 24? Well, from the 24, you got a chance to run a regular play. You know, you're not running a Hail Mary from the 24-yard line. Now, you're going to put it up into the end zone if nobody's available, and nobody should be available, you know, in the timing of a play. But the Cowboys lost this game because they couldn't stop the 49ers in the first half, and they penalized themselves out of this game. I don't think they were going to run the ball very effectively against the 49ers, even if they tried, although I would have used Pollard a hell of a lot more than Elliott in that game. If they were going to try to run the football, they ran from that formation where they had the two offensive linemen, Brendan, in the backfield, where they ran Pollard and he had like a 7 or an 8 yard run, and then they came back and booted off of that. But the penalties were outrageous in this game against Dallas. Many of them egregious. That was a massive difference in the game. And look, the Cowboys had 34 takeaways during the course of the season and had a monster turnover differential. And the turnovers in this game were dead even. You know, you had the Garoppolo pick and the Dak pick, both of which cost each team a touchdown. I know Mickey said that McCarthy is staying. I guess that's probably a good bet after a 12-5 season, you know, in which they own the NFC East, the poor NFC East. I think McCarthy basically is 6-9 in his 2 years against everybody not named an NFC East team. But I still don't think I'd be shocked if he were fired this week or next. That's how the owner looked in that particular case. And I think the owner loves both coordinators. We'll see. I trust Mickey. He's been covering this team and writing this team. And a lot of Cowboy fans swear by Mickey more than they swear by anybody else in terms of the information he has. He leaned heavy that McCarthy would come back, but he didn't sound like it was a total no-brainer. All right, that's it for the day. Thanks to Mickey. Thanks to all of you who called. Thanks to Brendan, who is back today. Back tomorrow. Travis is up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.